The book of Psalms, Psalm 16, page 549. It's page 549, Psalm 16. And we're thinking during this time of teaching about joy and how to unlock the secret of joy in our lives. I'm sure every one of us could say we would like to be more joyful than we are, or maybe want to reconnect or rekindle the joy that we once had in our lives and the spiritual joy that we once had. And Psalm 16 holds the key to this. And the very last verse of Psalm 16 talks about joy. So let's read God's word. This is the word of God. "Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, 'You are my God. Apart from you, I have no good thing.' As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Amen. You might want to keep that psalm open as we move through this time of teaching. A team of scientists have developed an equation to measure happiness. I don't know if you heard this or read this, but they noted in their experiments that they could measure a chemical reaction in the brain that equated to happiness when those being tested were being rewarded for a task they had completed or a decision they had made. So happiness, in their mind, was directly linked to reward or a task completed, a sense of satisfaction. A recent survey, an online survey, listed Ireland as the 15th happiest place to live in the world. Australia was number one, all of its beaches and surf culture, no doubt. But Ireland was number 15. I thought that was great. In fact, in the British Isles, four of the top five happiest places to live are found in Northern Ireland, which is why I am such a happy person. But it's interesting. There is this quest for happiness. What is the equation for happiness? What could make me happy? Where could I live that would cause my happiness levels to rise? The pursuit of happiness, the equation of happiness, the secret of happiness, it's something we'd all like to be let in on. Yet you'll seldom hear a sermon on happiness. Even though happiness is a biblical word, you'll not hear a sermon on it. The word happiness is mentioned about 30 times in the Bible, but the word joy, or to be joyful or to rejoice, is mentioned 300 times. So happiness and joy, two biblical words, but mean very different things. Happiness is about external environmental causes. Our happiness can come and go. It can be fleeting. Depends on who we're with, what we're doing, and where we are. But our joy is an inner peace and security. It's something completely different. And to be joyful doesn't mean that you are laughing and joking, but it means you have this inner peace and contentment. And so we prefer to preach about joy than we do about happiness. Because even though not everyone in this room could be happy today because of your circumstances, every one of us can be joyful because of what the Lord does in us. Joy, the definition of joy, is to be exceedingly glad, to have a gladness welling up within us. Yet we experience trials. Life is not easy. And many of the situations and experiences of our lives seek to rob us of our joy. And many of us will be sitting here this morning and we'll be thinking, well, I don't feel the joy that you're talking about. The life I'm living and the circumstances that surround me are pulling my joy away from me. And I feel like I'm missing out. Well, in James chapter 1, verse 2, James writes, consider it all joy, even when we encounter various trials. So the Bible tells us that in the midst of whatever situation you're finding yourself in, whether it's unemployment, economic distress, a health situation, a relationship breakdown, whatever it might be that's robbing you of your happiness and joy, the Bible says even in the midst of those trials, you can still have a level of joy. So let's figure this out a little bit by looking at Psalm 16. I don't want you to be shocked, but I have 7 points. But I'm going to try to move through them pretty quickly, okay? And they're going to come up on the screen. The secret life of joy. Looking at verse 16, the first secret to unlocking joy in your life is to confess truth. Confessing truth. You see there in verse 2 that the writer of the psalm says, you are my Lord, apart from you I have no good thing. Now if you're looking at Psalm 16, if you're looking down at it, and you look at that, you are my Lord, apart from you I have no good thing, what do you notice about that sentence that is unique, that sets it apart from all the other sentences in the psalm? What do you notice if you're following? It's a direct quotation. There are speech marks at the beginning and at the end of that sentence. So here we have the psalmist proclaiming with his mouth, confessing truth. And he's confessing a personal relationship. He is saying, my Lord. So he calls out to God, calling on God as his own. And then he confesses dependence. Apart from you, I have no good thing. So in the confessing of truth, in the speaking out of truth, it starts to unlock something of the joy of the Lord within our hearts. It is a declaration. And the root word for declaration, to declare a truth, is also the root word for horizon, the dawning of a new day. So if you like, when you are declaring truth and biblical truth, even in the midst of suffering, it is like bringing about a new dawn in your life. It is bringing a light into the darkness, a new horizon to focus on as you move forward. Public declarations, to confess something audibly, is powerful. Earlier this year in Ballymena, I had a week where I had a funeral and a wedding in the same week, with just one day in between them. And at the funeral, the man who had died was well into his 90s, and the family were very pragmatic about their loss. They had been expecting him to die for some time. He had been deteriorating through old age and other conditions. And one of his grandsons, who is a barrister practicing in London, quite high profile, he was nominated by the family to bring the eulogy. And in talking to me, he was very matter-of-fact about it. He says, I'm going to write it down. I'm going to put it on my iPad. I'll just come to the front and I'll read it out. He says, I'm the one in the family who's used to public speaking, so I've been nominated to bring this eulogy. And he was very calm, very pragmatic, very controlled and together through all of the preparations. And I had really little fear for him in giving the eulogy. And as we moved through the service, I then invited him up at the appropriate time to speak. And he came to the podium and he started to speak about his grandfather. And as he spoke audibly about the relationship that he and his grandfather shared and some of the memories that he wrote down in a very matter-of-fact way, as he started to confess them publicly in front of other people, he was overcome with emotion and could barely finish. A man who is so accustomed to public speaking that he could do it in his sleep. But it was confessing the truth of the relationship that brought about the emotion in his heart. And so when we think about unlocking the secret of joy in our lives, the key to that, one of the keys, is to confess the truth. He is my God, and apart from him, I can do no good thing. Confessing truth. The second key that can unlock joy in our lives is to be clear about the cost. Clarity about the cost. Here we see in verse 4 that the psalmist says, those who run after other gods will increase their sorrow. Those who run after other gods will increase their sorrow. If you want to avoid an increase of sorrow in your life, then you've got to take heed of this verse. Because running after anything that is not God is only going to increase the sorrow in your life and rob you of your joy. And no one wants to be charged with idolatry. Not one of us would want to get to the end of our lives and say, and hear that we have been charged with idolatry, worshipping a God other than the God. And so it is very important for us that as we consider our own personal joy, that we do not run after other gods. Now, how do you know if you're running after another God? How do you know if your worship from God has been distracted by something else? Well, think about the proportion of time you spend thinking about that thing or that person, the time you spend talking about that thing or that person, or the amount of time you, the amount of money you spend on that thing or that person. Think about whether something is consuming your mind, consuming your heart, consuming your attentions and your affections. And if you're spending a lot of time, an inproportionate amount of time on that, then you can be pretty sure that you have moved that thing or that person into the place of God in your life. And if you do that, you will increase your sorrow. You certainly will not engage with your joy. Remember, we read a few weeks ago how Jesus wrote to the church in Ephesus. He said, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. It is a call to come back to God and to turn away from the other things that we're worshiping that rob us of our joy. So how do we say no to counterfeit gods? How do we say no to other things? You've got to become aware of your go-to behavior. What are you running to in times of crisis? Who are you running to in times of crisis? Has that thing, has that commodity, has that person taken the place of a God in your life? Even though it might be a good thing, if we want it too much or want too much of it, it becomes a God thing. Good things can be God things if we want them too much or want too much of them. And if we do that, if we're running after it as a God, then we can be sure that our sorrow will increase. So we confess truth. We're clear about the cost of running after other gods. Thirdly, we count our blessings. Look down at verses 5 and 6. You, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. It's good to count our blessings. It's good that we did that this morning with you and with the children, that we can shout out things to be thankful for, because we might be thankful for them within, but we really need to name those out before God and hear ourselves naming those out before God on a regular basis. If we count our blessings, if we praise God for the boundary lines which has fallen for us in pleasant places, then it unlocks joy within our life. We feel that joy coming into our hearts like a wave. Open our eyes and we are thankful. Someone said once that gratitude is the attitude that gives altitude. Gratitude, it lifts you up. To be thankful, it lifts you up. We'll not linger too much in that because we've been counting our blessings already this morning. Fourthly, we are cleansed by the counsel of his word. Cleansed by the counsel of his word. Verse 7. The blueprint for a joyful and blessed life is found in the Bible. There is no quick fix to unlocking joy because without God's word, without God and his word and his spirit, we have no chance of finding lasting joy. We need to be people of the book. We've noticed this through our study in the letters to Revelation, and we're seeing it again today. We need to be people of the book. Psalm 16, verse 7, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night his heart instructs me. This is a direct reference to the law of his word. If we neglect the book, then we will be locking away the joy from our hearts instead of unlocking it into our hearts. If you want to be a joyful person, if you want to be a joyful Christian, if you want to re-engage with God with that sense of excitement and anticipation and joy, then you cannot neglect the daily reading of his word. It is his word that brings that instruction, that cleansing, and unlocks joy in our lives. Sometimes we say, if only God would speak to me, if only God would give me a sign, if only God would tell me what to do, write it in the sky. Well, it's in his word. He speaks to us primarily through his word. We cannot neglect it. We cannot ignore it. So how do we do this? Well, we can study his word in small groups. We can read his word. There's plenty of online applications now that can help us to read a portion of scripture every day. We can attend to the preaching of his word here on Sundays. If you want to be a serious believer, if you want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, you cannot neglect meeting together here and coming under the counsel of his word and listening to his word and discussing his word. We are cleansed by his word. Someone said that study, observation, application, and prayer spell soup. Soup. Study, observation, application, prayer, cleansed by the counsel of his word. The fifth key to unlocking joy that we see in Psalm 16 is that we would concentrate our gaze on God. Look down at verse 8 of your following. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. He is our source of joy. And we need to be aware of the distractions that are keeping us from God and get our eyes back on God again. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Sometimes we can be looking in the right direction, but we are distracted by other things. That we cannot see the wood for the trees. I don't know if you've ever been sitting in your car driving, it's a sunny day, and you're looking through the windscreen, and normally you don't notice the windscreen as you're driving. It's just something to look through to protect you from the elements. But this particular day, the sun is shining on a way where it's reflecting off the windscreen, and all you can see are the streaks and the little dead flies that are on your windscreen. And you become distracted by them. Even though you're looking in the same direction as you were the day before, now your focus is on the smears and the smudges of the windscreen. And sometimes we are looking in the right direction, but we are focused on the wrong thing. And here in the psalm, the writer is saying we need to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though all of us might be orientated in the right direction this morning, our focus might be on something completely different. And if our focus is not on Jesus, then we will find it difficult to engage with that quality of joy within our hearts. So concentrating our gaze on God. Sixthly, I told you we'd move through these pretty quickly. Sixthly, calling out in praise. Verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices and my body also will rest secure. Calling out in praise. Some people suffer from what I would describe as spiritual constipation, where we're very good at taking a lot of things in. We're church junkies, or we're Bible junkies, or we're spirituality junkies, and we take it all in, we ingest it all, but there's no outflow. Or what the outflow is critical or judgmental. And for Christians to be critical and judgmental is a real shame and a real bad advert for Christianity. And here the psalmist is saying, whenever you take it in, when you're bringing in the goodness of God's word, whenever you're keeping your eyes focused and fixed on Jesus, whenever you're being cleansed by the counsel of his word, what comes in has to come out. And it should come out in praise. We should be people that if we have nothing good to say, we shouldn't say it at all. And if we're going to be critical of anyone, it should be for their good and spoken in love to them. But so often Christians are known for their judgmentalism and their negativity. So let's relieve the pain of our spiritual constipation, if you like, by singing out in praise to one another and singing out in praise the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord and the things we need to celebrate about each other. Let us be known for our joyful proclamations. Let us be known as people of joy and praise and worship. And then finally, the final C, to unlock the secret of joy in our lives, is to be confident about eternity. Down at verse 10, be confident about eternity, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. And of course, he didn't let his Holy One see decay. Jesus was taken from the cross, dead. He was put in the tomb. And then when they went to the tomb to anoint his body with the spices and the aromas that go with death, he was not there. He had been risen, because it had been promised in God's word that Jesus would never see decay, which is why we have the confidence and the hope that we too will be resurrected and recreated with him. So even though all around us and even our own bodies might be decaying and deteriorating, we know that in death, in him, we are made new and restored to the fullness of life. And we have that hope, we have that confidence, because he has gone before us and shown us that it is possible in himself through his resurrection. Joy comes with the inner knowledge of eternal security, knowing that if we are in him, knowing if we are rooted in his word, rooted in the community of faith, rooted in the experience of his spirit, then we can be sure of that resurrection power within us, lifting us from the grave into that hope of an eternal heaven. Joy should be the banner flying over our lives. And I'm thankful that this is a church that exhibits much joy. But so often, we Christians can find our joy ebbing from us and being lost. Well, in order to have that joy released back into our hearts, as the psalmist says, to be filled with joy in his presence, these are the keys to getting back to that, getting that joy back. To confess truth with our mouths, to be clear about the cost of running after other gods, to count our blessings, name them one by one, to be cleansed by the counsel of his word on a regular basis, to have our gaze concentrated on him and him alone, to call out in praise rather than in negativity, and to be confident in ourselves about an eternity which is promised to us. Keys to unlocking joy in our lives. And we thank God for his word.